Titus chapter 2, begin at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, that no man despise thee. We learn from verse 11 that it is the grace of God that brought salvation to us. We didn't go after it, it was brought to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 said, but you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, how that he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And John 1:14 said, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and full of truth. So I'm glad for the grace of God. Hebrews 2:9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So the grace of God is displayed when Jesus goes upon Calvary's cross and there suffers the penalty of our sins. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, that any man should boast. Now 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9 said that this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of Jesus Christ our Savior, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So the gospel lets us know what God has done in Christ by his grace to save fallen sinners like we are. And so when you get to heaven, you'll rejoice throughout the ceaseless ages because of the grace of God. Grace. Of course, wrath is also displayed at the cross. Judgment upon sin. It's by the grace of God that Jesus tasted death under the wrath of God. The wages of sin is death. So Christ went to Calvary and tasted physical death, he tasted spiritual death, and he tasted the second death by the grace of God. And now God can freely forgive repenting, believing sinners who does not deserve anything but wrath. We don't deserve anything but wrath. But Christ took our wrath and took our blame and stayed on the cross by the grace of God. And now God can show us mercy, which is withholding from us what we deserve, and can give us grace, which is giving us what we do not deserve. And so we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. And so that's a real lesson, ain't it? So what did Christ come down here to do anyway? He come down here first. He come down here according to verse 14. Gave himself first that he might redeem us from all iniquity. So he come down here to save us from the penalty of sin. We was under the death penalty, you know. We was already convicted. We broke the law. God's law finds us guilty. The Bible said in Romans 3:19, we know what the law says. It says them that are under law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Romans 3 and verse 10 says it's written, there's none good, no, not one. There's none that understand it. Verse 23 said, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in John 3:36, he that believeth on Christ has everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Yeah. Ephesians 2 and verse 3 said, we're children of wrath by nature. Yeah. And so I remember when I was under the wrath of God as an unbeliever. And one day the law come to me. God shined the law in. And I saw by the law was the knowledge of sin. I saw what a sinner I was. I saw the condemnation I was under. I saw the hell I was going to. And oh, the fear of God set up in my heart. And I got under old time, shiny eye conviction. I saw myself on the broken commandments of a sin-avenging God, worthy of hell and eternal punishment. And then, praise God, one day the gospel light shined in. They got to preaching the gospel to me, and the gospel became good news to me. And God gave me some faith. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what the church believed. I just went and fell on that stone, and God, for Christ's sake, washed my sins away and redeemed me from all iniquity, from the penalty of sin. I'm no longer under the penalty of sin, because the Bible said in John 3:18, he that believeth in Christ is not condemned. Romans 8:1 said, there is therefore now no condemnation them which are in Christ Jesus. And I'm in Christ, the condemnation's been moved away, and the victory's been put inside of me, and now I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I say hallelujah to the help of God. Oh, are you glad the Lord come down here to redeem us from the penalty of sin? Oh, let me tell you something. You deserve hell. You deserve eternal punishment. Oh, yes. You read Revelation 19. When God sends the wicked to hell, the saints shout, hallelujah. True and righteous are thy judgments, O Lord. God would do right if he sent everybody to hell. Don't read, he don't send us to hell. Christ went to hell for us. He took our blame. He paid our debt off. And now God Almighty has moved the condemnation and wrote my name up yonder. And the righteousness of Christ has been given to me. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hey, I got some good news as far as God's concerned. If you're saved, there's never been anything wrong with you. Because God put you in Christ and gave you the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, and he's able to present you faultless before his throne with exceeding joy. Can't be that, I don't think. I like it. So Christ come down here to save us from the penalty of sin. And then he come down here to school us in personal sanctification. Now, some folks don't tell us that on this. The grace of God brings salvation because all men are teaching us that denied ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so what he does, he not only saves us from the penalty of sin, but he schools us in personal salvation. Nobody didn't have to tell me to stop drinking booze. Nobody didn't have to tell me to stop damn playing poker. Nobody didn't have to tell me to stop going to the tavern. The grace of God taught me that denied ungodliness and worldly lusts. Galatians 1:4, we're saved from this present evil world according to the will of God. And so when God saves you, he starts you to school. You might not have got to go to school much out here in the schoolhouse, but if you're saved, you're going to school. Because the grace of God teaches us. If you didn't have a Bible, didn't have a pastor, didn't have any Christian friends or church to go to, and you get saved by grace, the grace of God teaches you don't drink whiskey. Amen. Don't chase women. Don't commit, don't check up like shepherd dogs. The grace of God teaches you don't buy a lottery ticket. The grace of God teaches you that you are not ungodly and worldly and live soberly, righteously, and godly. The grace of God teaches you to dress godly. Listen, if you don't dress godly, something wrong. You must be laying out of school. You know, there's personal salvation that's taught to us. Somebody said, well, we're going to heaven. I said, I know it, but we're not there yet. So now we're to live sanctified lives. We're to live so other folks can see that God's begun a good work in us, and God's performing that work until Jesus Christ comes. I like it. Praise God. You might preach harder and closer than I can live, but you can't preach any closer than I like. If folks got the grace of God down inside, they love the Word of God, they don't care how much you preach on sin. If you preach on their sin, they'll say, oh, me and amen. They don't get mad at the preacher and run away and hold up some penny wasted pastor that's reading out of NIV. They love the Word of God. Hey, I wouldn't give 10 cents for a greyhound load of folks that can't take old time preaching. I like it, praise God. I feel like taking run spells all the night. Oh, I know what's going on in these days. I'm very well aware that they say, well, we've got puppet shows over here for the young people. And just come as you are. Just come as you are. And you know, nowadays, the women's are wearing the pants and the men's are wearing the jewelry in most places. Somebody said, well, you don't know, said them to death. I done already said it. Oh, yes. You can take that. You don't, I feel sorry for some of you, but don't get up and leave now. If you do, I'll tell everybody to turn around and look. You can't take it. I'm going to tell you something right now. Praise God. I like that sanctifying school, don't you? Holy Ghost says, don't do that. Holy Ghost says, wait, don't do that. You start to say something bad about somebody. Holy Ghost says, no, don't do that right yet. Wait a minute. You know, you'd be surprised at the people that other folks' sins look so much worse than theirs does. I told a fellow the other day, he's talking about somebody, how bad it is to do it. All. I said, oh, I agree with them. That's bad. But I said, your sin and my sin is just bad as their sin. I said, we've all got problems. And God has to work on us. You know what? God's been working on me more than 53 years. And when God gets fully finished up working on me, I'm going to be just like His Son. He's working on me. I'm going to be getting sanctified more. The further I go along, the more sanctified I want to live. Oh, listen, don't get more loose. Get more conservative. One fellow said, well, sounds like you're conservative. I said, I'm so conservative, I think most conservatives are liberal. Well, they said, you're no right-winger. I said, you got it right. I'm a right-winger because I read in this Bible, Christ is on the right hand of God. I read in this Bible, Matthew 25, the right ones on the right side, they the one that went into eternal life. And if I wait, the left going to hell. So you better put it down and get on the right and stay on the right. Somebody said, well, how do I get to heaven? I said, turn right and go straight and you will get there. Praise God. Somebody said, well, salvation not the works. I said, I know it, but we're created in Christ Jesus' Son who good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. I done read in James 2:10, know this, obey man, that faith without works is dead. And Galatians 5 and verse 6 says, in Christ Jesus, same thing, made nothing on earth, but faith which worketh by love. And so if you've got the right kind of faith, you have the right kind of works. Because faith puts you to work. Now Noah worked on the ark and done everything God told him to do and didn't even have a Bible or a church or a pastor. He just heard God say, hey, it's coming to flood. And Noah believed it's coming to flood. He said, I'm going to destroy everything where the breath of life is. And Noah believed it. And he moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house and done everything God said to do. I mean, he kept on by faith. I don't know where he felt anything or not, what is working. I think he felt pretty good when the rain started. Because he was inside shielded from the wrath to come. And so look here. Christ come down here to save us from the penalty of sin. And to school us in personal salvation. And to spiritually fix us for service. Look in verses 14, 15. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Watch now. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. In other words, when he saves you from the penalty of sin and schools you in personal salvation, he's affixing you. He's affixing you up for spiritual service. He's a spiritually working on you and fixing you for spiritual service. See, you can't serve God except in a carnal attitude. That's why Paul told the Roman church, quit you like men. Quit acting like carnal men. That's what he was saying. Quit acting like carnal men. Start walking in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. Spirit against the flesh. Neither career one or the other. So that you cannot do things that you would. So now we're to walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. Walk in the light. Yeah, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, and let God work on you and do some personal sanctifying, and He'll spiritually fix you up for service. You cannot serve God until you lay aside the weights and the sins that easily beset you so that you can run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Bible said in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Somebody said, well, I want to do God's work. Well, get sanctified real good and you can do God's work. You can't do God's work. You read that Old Testament over there in Exodus chapter 30. God told Moses, Aaron, and them folks how to mix that oil up. He said, don't put too much of this, too much of that. Get it all balanced. Say, if you want to serve God carefully, you've got to be balanced. Now, there's most churches, it's wildfire or no fire. You ever been in them? I've been where a good amen would be worth $30. And then I've been where they just have all wildfire. Listen, there's a balance. God wants you to be full of joy. He wants you to be better. He wants you to be some kind of wild-eyed fanatic. You know what I mean? Just hammering on something all the time. But I want to preach to try to help you and show you that God wants you fixed for spiritual service. So when God got ready to ordain them priests, well, he got all this oil, anointing oil, mixed together, and it wasn't to be put on a foreigner. I mean, if you're not acquainted with deliverance from the penalty of sin, you can't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, that's where it goes. There had to be special chosen men. And then that oil was poured on them, and they were supposed to do the work in the tabernacle. They had to have that anointing first. They had to be fixed up for service. See, that's why Uriah committed the sin of death. He was a good king. God blessed him 52 years, and he done that was right in the eyes of the Lord. He done right. But he went got powerful. It's pretty dangerous to get too powerful. And it's dangerous to get too popular. Did you know I've been here long enough to see a lot of preachers and singers that got too popular? And it ruined them? We just kind of got a kind of nature can't hardly stand that. And Uriah had the same kind of nature, and he went in that temple, and he's a king. He's supposed to do the work of a king, but he's not supposed to do the work of a priest. So he went in that temple and took a censer and started offering incense. And 80 priests rebuked him and tried to get him not to do it. He paid no attention. You know, some folks get so far along, they just won't listen to nobody's advice. And he started offering that incense, and God smote him a leprosy on his forehead. Did you know as long as he lived, he could never go back in that temple no more? Did you know he committed a sin of death? You read Isaiah chapter 6, the year that King Uzziah died. The year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah got a renewed vision. He said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord high on this earth, and in the temple, his plain field, the temple, he saw God's holiness again. Listen, God's holy, and if you're going to do God's work, you're going to have to live holy, or you can't do it. That's the way it is. Now, we got a lot of folks today over the country. They think God just uses anybody that comes in. There's a lot of Christians that God won't use. Yes, sir. There's a lot of preachers that God's not going to use. God won't use them because they're not living right. You say, are they saved? They say they are. I hope they are. But you can't do God's work unless you do it God's way. And that wasn't the king's business off of that in the temple. That was the priest. That was their personal business. They had been fixed up for service. Listen, if you're going to do God's work, you need to get fixed in personal sanctification. Look here, the Bible tells us why you purify unto himself a peculiar people. A peculiar means a distinguishing mark. You can't, you know, he told them over in Exodus 30, he said, don't imitate that. Don't try to imitate that. Did you know you can't mimic the power of God? You ever see anybody get up and try to imitate? They try to let on like they had what the other preacher had. Well, true Christians are spot at a mile away. You can't imitate somebody else. You do what God wants you to do and get fixed for it. And so, them priests went in there, and they're supposed to offer that. And the Bible tells us, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which were not a people, but now were the people of God. We have not obtained mercy, now we've obtained mercy. Delivered of it, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, to abstain from flesh and lust, which war against the soul. My question is, how friendly are you with this cross-rejecting world? How good do you get along with a world that hated Christ the man they killed him? The folks down at the grocery store and Walmart and supermarkets know you're saved. You tell them folks down there, you're so peculiar, they wonder what's wrong with you. Did they mark you as an old right-wing fanatic that goes up there to that fundamental church where they believe in the King James Version only? That's what you need to be. You need to be the kind of church that goes down there that the modernist liberals don't like. I want to be as far away from that crowd as I can get. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. If you hang around the crowd like that, you'll get like them. So I was, one fellow said, well, if you tone it down a little, we'll let you preach in our church. I said, I don't want to preach in your church. I'd rather preach for my kind of folks. Somebody said, well, everybody will like it. I said, I know it, but somebody will. There's a few folks around that love it, and I don't worry about the crowd that don't like it. There's always been a big crowd that don't like it. They'll have to get in line. Somebody said, well, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, get sanctified good, you'll like that kind of preaching. I think that's right. Look here, what did he come down here to do? He come down here to save us from the penalty of sin. He come down here to school us in personal sanctification. He come down here to spiritually fix us for a special work. And he come down here to keep us steadfastly looking for the second coming. Looking for the blessed hope. Not looking to Wall Street. Not looking to Obama and Pelosi. Somebody said, I think they're going to fix it. They're fixing it where it can't be fixed. Listen, we're in a big mess in the middle of a mess. You better lose sight of this whole world, and you better get enough power of God on the inside to cause you to look above this world, looking unto Jesus, us, and finisher of our faith, looking for the blessed hope. My hope is not in what the stock market does or what politicians does. My hope is in Jesus Christ coming to finish up on me what He begun on me. Amen. I'm rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5:2. Hope. I'm saved already inside, hoping to get saved outside. I'm not always saved right now outside. I'm saved to get inside. He's a saving on me outside. And when Jesus comes to give me a new body, I'm going to be saved outside. See, redemption's in three phases. He saved the soul, already if we're saved. Souls that save Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Christ is in you. The hope of glory. Christ is in you, and of course the Holy Spirit is it. Is it John 14:18? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. So Christ come in the Spirit of God. So Christ is on the inside of us. Now, so I've been saved inside. When Jesus comes, the sin of heaven with a shout, then Christ lies first. Then saints are translated, changed, come together. We're going to get saved outside, have a new body. I'm needing a new one. From the looks of some of you, you're needing a new one. Well, Bill said, there's not anything wrong with me. I said, as far as you know, there's not. It just hadn't showed up yet. Oh, you've got problems. You've got blood poison. You've got problems in this Adamic body. Sometimes it's longer showing up than it is. When something gets wrong with you, and you go to the doctor, they take some of your blood to try to figure out what's the matter with you. You got blood in you. Adam's blood. It's tainted with sin. That's why your body's coming apart. And don't you let none of these confused charismatic clowns throw you a curve. Because they're not able to cure all your diseases. I know one of them down here, Sean, he's a laws. I don't know if he's going to send that little 1 ounce anointed water, bottles of water. He claims you can drink that and it'd cure all your ailments. See, them guys are what they are, religious gangsters. They're using God to make money. Listen, I got more comments than Al Capone, Jesse James, Babyface Nelson. I have a bunch of no-good thugs who put themselves up to be preachers. I don't care who hears that. People in America today, they watch television, won't read the Bible. And so they slipped off of their feet by a bunch of them fellas, the actors. That's what they're, religious actors. That's what the word hypocrite means, actor. I've heard people say, now, if you get saved, you don't act like it. If you get saved, you won't have to act like it. It lasts itself. So, what we're doing right now, we're looking for the best hope. See, we've been saved inside, we're going to be saved outside, and over to the end, He's going to renew the creation, renew that. When He died at the cross, He paid the price for our soul, He paid the price for our body, and He paid the price for redemption. Everything that sin touched, Christ is going to redeem it, the whole creation. One person said, I don't believe in no new heaven and new earth. I said, that makes you an unbeliever. Because 2 Peter 3:13 said, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. What's wrong with God making a new earth? He made this first one. He's going to make another because 8 years messed up with sin. heaven and earth, heaven's going to pass away with a great noise, elements met with fervent heat, earth's going to be burned, and the works therein are going to be burned up. And he's going to start it over and make everything new, and sin can never enter there. Oh, I have people ask me all kinds of questions. Sometimes they ask me many questions King Solomon couldn't answer them. They said, well, why did, couldn't the Lord have destroyed the devil when he first sinned? I said, he could have, but he didn't. They said, well, couldn't he just have destroyed Adam and Eve when they first sinned, made him somebody else? I said, he could have, but he didn't. They said, why do you think the Lord allowed sin in him? Well, to display his grace. If there was no sin, God could never display his grace. So God allowed sin to enter, Satan first, Lucifer first, then entered through Adam and Eve, the human race. 6,000 years ago, the human race, since then, sin's got this trail all the way back to Adam. This Bible makes known about sin and about the Savior redeeming man from sin. And when it's a dispensational book. It's a progressive revelation. When God gets finished up, if things going to be redeemed back, there's going to be new heavens and new earth, and sin can't never enter there because God's displayed all of his grace to us. Ain't that a blessing? Now, we live right now in the best dispensation ever thus far. That's the dispensation of conscience back there. Adam and Eve had a conscience, but it wasn't awakened until they sinned. Conscience is to have the ability to know good from evil, not right from wrong. Good from evil. So they had a conscience. They didn't have a Bible. Didn't have a preacher. Had a God-given conscience. Conscience is a common grace. It won't say, but you're supposed to take care of it. You know what I mean? It's the ability to know good and evil. They knew they weren't supposed to do it, but they done it anyway. So that dispensation run its course there. And then all the way back from the flood back, just had conscience. Every thought and imagination of men's heart became evil continually because they didn't guard their conscience. Their conscience becomes seared. See, they didn't have no Bible. They didn't have no part of the Bible until Moses, which is way over here after Abraham in the promised dispensation. See, so the conscience dispensation, then human government entered in with Noah after the flood. And human government, that's somebody with badges and guns and judges and stuff to keep sinners from doing as bad as they might do. Now see, that wouldn't save you. But if you don't have any respect for human government, you won't get saved. See what I mean? If your conscience dies, and therefore you don't have any respect for human government, you better watch, you're going too far. Then you got promise entered in there with Abraham. Promise coming with Abraham. It's promise. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give this land to you around here, and by in your seed, which is Christ, all families of the earth are going to be blessed. See the progressiveness of it? Got promise seed there. You've got Moses come off and he gives the law. He writes down the law. That makes it more binding when he writes it down. He writes down the law. See, you go down this road here and say they got a 45, 55 mile zone out there. But you know what? When you see that sign, that reminds you the law says that. See, when you look at that Bible and it says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, that makes it more binding. The law wouldn't save. But you can't get saved without it. Sin comes on over here. Christ comes down here in the fullness of time. And he's born of the law, lives of the law, keeps the law, goes to the cross, dies under the law as a lawbreaker to redeem us from the curse of the law. And he sets up a church. And now we're in this church dispensation. And we've got the full revelation. Full revelation. We even know what the Lord's done from here back. And we even can get a glimpse of what he's going to do from here on. Did you know you're blessed more than any dispensation that's ever been here in 6,000 years? If you go to hell from this dispensation, it'll be hotter for you than it was for Nineveh. It'll be worse for you than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah. You know why Jesus told them folks there at Capernaum? He said the men of Sodom will rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it because had they had the life you had, they'd repent long ago. See, Sodom didn't have no Bible. Christ was right among them, the living word, and yet they rejected it, so hell would be harder for them than it was for the Sodomites. And it would even be harder for the church age people over here than it was for those when Christ was down here. See, the more life you have, the more responsible you are. So this is the best dispensation thus far. Now we've got a better one coming right out in the future. After Daniel 70th week runs its course, 70th week of Daniel, and Christ comes back as king and sets up a kingdom down here, that's going to be better dispensation than this. I mean, the devil's going to be bound. Amen. That's why it's going to be better. We won't have to fight with the devil for 1,000 years. One just said, I don't believe that. I said, you know, I believe it for it to be so. It's so they don't nobody believe it. The Bible says it. Is that right? I'm not so dogmatic about that. A lot of people, they never have been taught. They don't know about it. They won't read. They don't read. They don't know. They won't take it. Most of us approach the Bible with a preconceived idea anyway. Don't we do it? You have to watch that. Well, I'm glad I'm in the church dispensation. I'm part of the bride of Christ. And so he's got, when he comes back with a shout, the boy starts talking, he's coming after his bride. Bridegroom coming after the bride. And I'm glad I'm part of the bride. I'm out of town. Home in the twinkling of an eye, for I was trying. What a day that'll